We invite you now to tell us about a favorite photo you've taken for a new feature we're launching called The Story Behind the Picture. Here's what to do. In 150 words or less, tell us the story behind your picture. Make us laugh, cry, moan, but keep it short. Remember, this is radio. Be descriptive. Attach a copy of your photo to your email. We'll choose the best stories to read on the air and post to the chosen photo on our website. Our address is watc@npr.org. Put the word picture in the subject line and remember to include your phone number and please tell us how to pronounce your name. And now your letters. Lots of you wrote in to complain about our interview with the author of a book called Popstrology, The Art and Science of Reading the Pop Stars. Kathy Lucrezi of Fort Myers, Florida, had a typical reaction. Popstrology? Please. Apparently, any oddball theory of personality gains airtime, provided there's a book to promote. I kept waiting for some line to let us know that the piece was satire. Surely, I thought, no one at NPR believes this fluff. While lots of you scorned the interview as frivolous, it was one of the top most emailed stories for days on our website. Jennifer Wolfe of Ann Arbor, Michigan, wrote in after my interview yesterday with Gary Stromberg, who put together a book of essays about celebrities with addiction problems. It was called The Harder They Fall. The interview implied that Bob Marley, like other celebrities mentioned, had died of his addiction. Why, Marley was certainly a heavy drug user. Ms. Wolfe notes that he actually died of cancer. Listener Ned Johnson of Bethesda, Maryland, paid close attention to our segment yesterday on the new SAT test. Mr. Johnson is president of Prep Matters, Inc., a company that provides SAT tutoring. He wrote, "I've witnessed firsthand the changes to the SAT in both 1994 and 2005, having taken the SAT shoulder to shoulder with 17-year-olds numerous times, including this morning. The new SAT itself was amazingly similar in content to the old SAT, just mind-numbingly longer. The whole process was grueling. Think baton death march of tests. It's fascinating to observe one's own brain turning to pudding." And we got several emails from listeners after our report on termites' use of wood vibrations to identify the perfect meal. They all suggested we give credit to poet Ogden Nash, who wrote, "A primal termite knocked on wood and tasted it and found it good. And that is why your cousin May fell through the parlor floor today." Thank you for sharing. Please continue to send us your emails at watc@npr.org.